I don't know about you, but I sometimes go through a lot of stuff, and it's sometimes it's hard pressing stuff, and we're trying to work through it, and I know that you go through stuff as well, and that you are every time you are seeing the faithfulness of God, and there are times that things are just overwhelming. But you know, sometimes those things that we go are through our doing. Well, I can see you're all excited about that. Because we don't want to acknowledge sometimes that we've messed up, we've screwed up somehow, and that we've brought some of this stuff on ourselves, and it becomes a whale of a problem. Now this morning we want to look at someone that had a whale of a problem. And that man happens to be, by his name, happens to be Jonah. Last week we talked about obstacles to fulfilling God's assignments. And this week we want to continue on with that in looking at Jonah. Do you know that every year the book of Jonah, the whole book of Jonah is read every year at the Day of Atonement? They always read through the book of Jonah. And I go, wow, okay, what's this? See, Jonah was the son of Amittai. And Amittai means, his name means truth. He was the son of truth. And according to Jonah chapter 1, the Lord gave this message. The Lord gave this message to this man, Jonah, son of Amittai. He says, get up and go. Seems simple enough. Get up and go. That's a direct command of God. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah, he got up all right. But the Bible says Jonah went the other way. And Jonah got up and he went, the Bible says, in the opposite direction. Now we know that he had a whale of a problem coming. But he didn't know he had a whale of a problem coming. He was directed to get up and go to Nineveh, and right away Jonah goes the opposite direction. I would say that's an obstacle for doing what God wants you to do. He got up and went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he finds a ship, and he bought a ticket, and he went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing away. He doesn't realize he's going to have a whale of a problem coming. And he decides to take a boat in the opposite direction. And not only that, he buys a ticket. Wow. The sailors in verse 15, things got pretty rough. The sailors picked up Jonah, and the Bible says they threw him into the raging sea. I mean, when he gets on this boat, there is a big storm. I didn't read that part because I don't have time. But he reads when he gets on that boat, he's going in the opposite direction to where God wants him to go. He gets on this boat and stuff happens, and this storm comes. And Jonah has to almost convince these guys, this is the thing to do. You want peace? All you got to do is throw me over. All you got to do is throw me over. This is not a good scene. And the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea. And the storm, so they were in a storm, the storm stopped at once. Now listen to what happened to those sailors, because the Bible says in verse 16, the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. They saw the power of God through a man's foolishness to go in the opposite direction. Get that. I thought, Lord, these guys are something else. In fact, they were awestruck by God's great power, and they offered God a sacrifice. And what did they do? They vowed to serve him. to serve the Lord. So sometimes, through our foolishness, through our wanting to go a different way, somebody can get saved because of our foolishness. God has in mind to save a whole bunch of people in a city. He wants them to go, and even though he's running, even though we do the foolish things in our thinking, God still works. How does God do that? God's faithful. Wow, isn't that big? They offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days. Then chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed. He's going. He has been swallowed by a great fish. He's in a fish. Isn't that fishing? Well, usually I like to catch fish and eat them. It's not normal for me to be caught by a fish and in that fish's belly. But it's while Jonah is in, he's praised to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. Well, you can be in the situation. And I'll tell you what, that even when you're in that situation, it's not too late to call out to God. Thank you, Jesus. Even in our foolishness of wanting to go in an opposite direction, you realize, boy, you know, I did this thing all wrong. I guess I should have went and did what the Lord wanted me to do. But the first thing, while he's in the belly of that great fish, he prays. In verse 9 of chapter 2, Jonah says, I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. And then he says, I will fulfill all my vows. It is God's grace and God's mercy that while he's in the belly of that big problem, it's God's mercy and God's grace. He's not too far to hear. He's not too far gone to hear a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter how desperate. When you're in the belly of your problem, you can still call out to God because he's faithful. Praise the name of the Lord. I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then in verse 10, the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah up on that beach. I don't know what he looked like when he came out on that beach. I don't know what you look like when you come out of the belly of the fish. I know what a fish looks like when I clean the fish. She's not pretty. And I'm not quite so certain that Jonah looked all that pretty. But in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Why would God do that? Because I believe that God is the God of the second chance. If I'd have been God, I would have said, Jonah, you don't want to go? You go your own way. I'll get somebody else. But you know what? God did not want to use anybody else. He had a plan and a purpose for Jonah. God has a purpose and a plan for you. You may be in a severe dilemma or in the belly of a problem, but God will listen to you when you cry out to him, and he'll allow you, he'll speak to you again. Do you know that Nineveh was a city which what is now known as Iraq? It was an ancient Assyrian capital city in upper Mesopotamia. And in northern Iraq it was located. And the Nineveh is actually first mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. And we read, as we read some of those parts, that this city was born by Cush. Actually, Cush begat Nimrod, who began the city. Nimrod was the mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter, the Bible says, before the Lord. And he was the one that actually began his kingdom. And that included Nimrod, that included Babel, Erech, Akkad, and also the city of Nineveh. And it was a religious center. It was a center that was devoted to the worship of other gods, especially the god of Ishtar. Nineveh was a city of great pride. You know what the Bible says about pride? The Bible says pride cometh before a fall. In fact, when you read through, if you were to take the time to read through the book of Nahum, who is a prophet, it is almost exclusively taking up with a prophetic denunciation of against this particular city. It was its ruin and its desolation was foretold. Zephaniah also predicts the destruction of the entire empire. It was a city of bloodshed. It was a city of ruthless military tactics. It was a city of much sin. And when God said to Jonah, go up to the great city and deliver the message I have given you, Jonah, after he comes out of the belly of that whale, obeys the Lord's commands, and he goes to this city. It was a large city. In fact, Jonah chapter 3, verse 3, tells us that Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. And on the very day that he enters, he shouts to the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people of Nineveh, it says that they believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast. They put on burlap to show their sorrow. And when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. He took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and he sat on a heap of ashes. And it's at that time in verse 7, the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn aside from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even God himself will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to all their evil ways, it says he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he threatened. You can imagine. God impacts the life of sailors. And now God is about to impact the life of a city. And this greatly in Jonah chapter 4, when the plans changed to destroy Nineveh, Jonah got greatly upset and became angry. So he complained to the Lord. "Didn't I tell you before I left home that you would do this?" He had a conversation with God. See, God had already told him at first, before the wail of a problem, God tells him to get up and go. And before he goes, Jonah says to God, he complains, and he says, "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew," listen, here it is, this is key, "you are merciful and a compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I would rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." Wow. What kind of man of God is this? See, Jonah was a prophet of God. He's not new to prophesying. He had been used by God. You just have to read 2 Kings. You'll find Jonah shows up there. He is what is many refer to as a minor prophet. There are major prophets, there are minor prophets. Jeremiah and Isaiah were major prophets. Here's a minor prophet. He's speaking on behalf of God, and God wants to use this guy. And this guy turns in another direction. And now he's angry that people have turned to God. Jonah went to the east side of the city, made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what was going to happen to the city. In verse 6 of chapter 4, the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head. It's shading him from the sun. It must have been hot because he needed the shade. It eased his comfort, the Bible says. And Jonah was very grateful to the plant. But then God arranged the worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. "Death is certainly better than living like this," Jonah says. But then the Lord said to him, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a city?" Yes, later, Nineveh was destroyed by the Medes, by the Babylonians and the Sumerians, or the Sasanians that attacked it, and the city was completely destroyed after about 600 years. There was no destruction until about 600 years later. Wow. God is merciful. God is kind. The end of Nineveh is tragic and sudden. In fact, both Isaiah, as I said, the fulfillment of Isaiah, that Nineveh was to be a place of desolation. What do we learn a little bit more from this story? Well, I learned that even though Jonah was a prophet of God, he was a complainer. He was more interested in his comfort than he was seeing people saved. How often it is that we are in places that people are more interested in their own comfort rather than the comfort of somebody else. Jonah was a prophet. If that could happen to a prophet, could it not happen to us? That we are interested in our own comfort. Oh, I think Jonah wanted to look good. Because he was concerned. Why would I go and bring this word, God, when I know you're merciful and you're compassionate, and I know that you're going to change your mind anyway from the destruction of the place. I know that you're not going to destroy, because especially if they turn to you. Well, you see, he wanted to look good. His idea was totally different from the love of God. His idea was a legalistic one. I think that he had a little bit of pride and a little bit of rebellion in him. You see, those are obstacles. He didn't want God to show mercy to the enemies of his people. Seems like God is always giving people a warning message before stuff happens. Something else about Jonah is he wasn't very happy with a fruitful ministry. How do you think any pastor or minister would feel when an entire city, it just says more than 120 people, come to faith? Wouldn't you be happy with that? He was more interested in how he was looking, you see. When you think that's revival, when you would think he'd be happy. But no, this man, Jonah, he was downright ugly. You see. Well, he was not happy with a fruitful ministry. He was pretty rapid with his thoughts and his words. He knew what was going to happen with God's mercy. I also think he was deeply patriotic. I also think that this man, Jonah, had some prejudice. You know, prejudice becomes a stumbling block oftentimes to. I think that he was deeply patriotic. And in his being deeply patriotic, but also with deep prejudice, because he knows that these Assyrians, Ninevites, were enemies of Israel. Why would you want good to come to your enemies? Well, actually, Jesus says it like this: love your enemies and do good. That's the message of Jesus. You see, I think that's big. Well, deeply patriotic to a fault. It wasn't to Israel's benefit for Nineveh to repent. In fact, Jonah says he would rather die. Listen to this. He would rather die than get converts. There was no punishment for approximately 600 years. God's grace and his mercy. Do you know what that tells me? Our God is about forgiving. We have the ability to repent and to be forgiven by God regardless. God is a God who forgives. Actually, he forgave Jonah. And he forgave the Ninevites. Will he not also forgive us when we're in our whale of a problem? Will he not also forgive us? This is a man that's in the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus talks about Jonah, that as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a fish, in 3 days, Jesus says, I will rise in 3 days. He refers to himself as one greater than Jonah, which is interesting. God is always in a mood to forgive. So what do we do with this information? Is it just information, or is it something for us to take away? God will forgive. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is, I believe the word in 1 Corinthians says, He is forgiving and He is compassionate and He's never failing. Praise God. He's there to see to it, okay, that we would call out to Him. We just have to acknowledge our wrong. It doesn't say that Jonah, it doesn't tell us the end of the story. We don't know whether Jonah sought forgiveness. We don't know what the end of Jonah is. We really don't. But we do know the end of those that were Ninevites. Jonah was a prophet of God, but even prophets can get messed up. Okay? Good people can get messed up and get themselves in a whale of a problem and be obstacles. You see? And then what makes matters worse is that Jonah is in a rage. Man, he just wants to die. Because God didn't do things that fit his idea. Praise the Lord. And I would suggest to you this, that in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. And let him direct your path, because it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Not a good path to follow down like Jonah. I'm the kind of guy, it seems I learn by my mistakes. Do you learn by your mistakes? You learn, I'm not going to do that again. You don't want to go down that pathway. Well, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Father, for the illustration of Jonah. He had many obstacles. He was confronted with many obstacles to doing the assignment that you had for him. And thank you, Lord, for the illustration of Jonah. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to have a different heart, a obedient, a contrite, and a humble heart. Your word says you will not despise the proud. Your word declares that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So I ask, Lord, that you would help us in those whale of a problems to humble ourselves as Jonah did in that great fish. He humbled himself to call out me. I ask, Lord, that you would help us with this. By your Holy Spirit, you lead us and guide us into all truth, and that truth would remain. I thank you, Lord, for this illustration. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to remove the obstacles out of our lives that hinder us from fulfilling your assignments, regardless of how mighty or how simple they will be in our journey in this life. We thank you that you are a faithful God, a merciful God, and a compassionate God. I ask, Father, that the light of your countenance would expose those things in our lives that may be obstacles, and that, Lord, you would help us to receive your word with meekness and gratefulness. I ask, Father, that as these people, as we all leave this place, that we'll know that just as you have had a desire and a love for those people that did not know you, and that, Lord, you will place those people around us all the time. You will help us as we let our light shine before them, that they will see what you are doing in and through us. And there will be something within them that will be caused to recognize your work in our lives. And they will come to faith in you. We thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by our own power, but it is by your Spirit, because you are faithful. I ask that the very light of your countenance would rest on us as we leave this place, and we'll know you are with us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our time of fellowship. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the food to our use and to our strength. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity like today to fellowship one with the other, to strengthen one another, and to just to enjoy the presence of one another, but also your presence, which is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God, you're faithful. Forever God, you're strong. Forever God, you're with us. Forever. God bless you.